Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event, a welterweight clash, Vicente Luque taking on Rafael Dos Anjos. A bit of a mirror image kind of fight this is. Not necessarily where you choose the same character twice on Street Fighter, but almost. Like, there are lots and lots of similarities between the two. The difference is Luque's, what? I mean, what, 7 years? 7 years younger, a little bit bigger, a little bit taller, a little bit fewer miles on the clock, etc., etc. Lots of reasons why this should be leaning on in the direction of Luque. However, he is on a bit of a rough streak at the moment, and RDA is back at welterweight and coming off a win over a very tough guy to stop in Brian Barberena. So it's an interesting fight nonetheless for a variety of reasons. Before we go any further, I've got to give our friends at AG1 a shout out. I love this stuff. I use it every day. First thing I do in the morning, wake up, one scoop in 12 ounces of water, and I feel like I've got myself covered for the day. I can make good decisions from that point onwards. I also add in a couple of drops of this as well. This is D3 and K2. If you use the code OUTLAWED, you will get a year's free supply of this and 5 of the free travel packs. Again, throw those in my bag when I'm traveling. I just make sure that I've got myself covered. 75 high quality nutrients in there, vitamins and minerals, probiotics, everything you need just to keep functioning at your best all the way through the day. It improves my energy levels when I'm training. It improves my sleep. I honestly can't recommend this stuff enough. It really is excellent. So go to drinkag1.com/outlawed. That is drinkag1.com/outlawed, and you'll get a year's free supply of the D3K2. 5 of the free travel packs, and you will have a comprehensive solution to all of your nutritional needs. Okay, right, tail of the tape. So, Vicente Luque has a record of 21 wins, 9 losses, and 1 draw. RDA has a record of 32 wins, 14 losses. Height and reach advantage, of course, for Luque. So you've got a 3-inch height advantage and a 6-inch reach advantage. I do feel like that will be relevant in this fight for a couple of different reasons. One, because the pressure that Luque is going to be able to put RDA under, if RDA is stuck up against the fence, will mean that Luque can hit him a lot easier than he's going to take shots himself. It also means if RDA is pushing forward and trying to pressure himself, Luque can hit him before RDA's moved into his own striking range. So a couple of real benefits to the height and reach advantage there for Luque. And as I said, they do feel like almost like mirror image fights of one another, these two guys. Like, they've both got a really nice Muay Thai style, super clean, crisp striking, nice feints, good defense, really heavy kicking game, and lots of experience on landing those techniques as well. Luque's a little bit bigger, a little bit more powerful, he's got the height and reach advantage, so I do feel like that's going to sway a little bit in his favour. Of course, he's coming off a couple of losses, and that never feels good for a striker, especially when you've been stopped, because, I mean, Luque's always been that guy that no matter who he's up against, as long as he's on his feet, he's gonna most likely be able to get the better of them. He's got really clean striking. RDA's the same. You know, I mean, his striking, you know, even at lightweight was really nice. At welterweight, I feel like he packs a bit more power and he's a bit more durable. I feel like the cut to 155, especially when he was older, started to, you know, it was taxing on him, you could say. Luque's in a really interesting situation, though. He's coming off 2 losses, and it's the first time in his UFC career that he's been on a 2-fight losing streak. Like, really early on in his career, he had an armbar loss, a draw, and then a split decision loss before he went on a 2-fight winning streak, beating Thiago Santos. after that, it's always been a loss followed by a win or 2 or 3 or 4. Or 6, you know what I mean? Like, he was on a 4-fight win streak, beating Price, Randy Brown, Tyron Woodley, and Michael Chiesa before losing to Bilal Muhammad and Jeff Neal. And that last one against Jeff Neal was pretty bad. He kept getting hit clean with that straight left down the pipe. And now he's fighting another southpaw who's got good striking, who will most definitely have watched that fight and thought to himself, I can keep barreling that straight down the center line if his head's going to be there. this is where the confidence of a fighter coming off a couple of losses, especially after being stopped, is definitely going to be a bit shaky. You know, you step in there against RDA. In Luque's mind, he's a legend of the game, of course. He must have been following RDA's career as he was coming up through the ranks. They've both been around a long time. But RDA is, of course, the veteran. And, you know, Vicente's going to know his style. He's going to know what he's good at. He's good everywhere. I mean, no one takes Brian Barberena down and dominates him as easy as that, you know, submits him in the way that RDA did. That's got to be something that's in the back of Vicente Luque's mind. He's going to have to keep this fight on the feet, because RDA at welterweight is really problematic. I mean, look, let me have a quick drink. I know he was 4-4 as a welterweight before going back down to lightweight for the recent fights he's had. But you look at who he fought at welterweight. I mean, there aren't many people that would have been able to withstand that murderer's row. So we've got a unanimous decision loss to Tony Ferguson back in 2016, right? Then he went up to welterweight and he beat Tarek Saffredin, who is a hugely underrated fighter. He was in the welterweight division kind of around the same time as me, maybe a little bit after, but I remember his name. I remember how sharp he was technically. That was a really good matchup for the UFC to make for RDA when he moved up to welterweight, because Saffredin wasn't a huge welterweight. Very, very sharp nonetheless. It was a great fight, really good performance. In fact, I'm going to go and watch that again. Then he fought Magny, who's obviously huge at welterweight, took him down, submitted him, made it look easy. Then he beat Robbie Lawler over 5 rounds. Like, at that point for me, RDA was like solidified as a welterweight. He's like, you know, he was the lightweight champ. You know, he kind of lost his rhythm towards the end there, went up to welterweight. That was just what he needed. He came in, he got 3 wins. And then for me, I was like, right, this is it. RDA has found his new weight class. Then he loses to Covington and Usman, both by decision, both over 5 rounds. Picks up an arm triangle choke over Kevin Lee. And then he loses to Leon Edwards and then Michael Chiesa. Like, and all by decision. So, yeah, he was 4-4 as a welterweight. But against absolute killers. Back down at lightweight, beat Paul Felder by decision, beat Moicano, then lost to Fazeev. And the Fazeev fight was great. You know, he got caught, what was it, 5th round? It was a really, really good fight. But I still feel like welterweight's the right place for him. He comes back and beats Brian Barberena, who is, of course, notoriously difficult to beat. So, unusually, the momentum seems to be on the side of the older fighter with more fights on his record. I would think, you know, if both of these guys were coming in off a win, I would put Vicente Luque, you know, as a clear advantage. But the fact that he's just been stopped, and the fact that he's fighting RDA, who's someone that was his senior when he was coming through, there might be that moment where Luque looks at him and he goes, "Damn, this is RDA," and just for a moment, it might trigger that anxiety that he's got from any anxiety that he may have from his last fight. I can't assume. I just remember because I was a striker. I got knocked out for the first time in my career against Condit. And I remember even before I started training camp for the next fight, even before thinking about who I was going to fight, who happened to be Anthony Johnson, who was a lethal human being. I remember thinking to myself, "Oh no! As soon as somebody touches me with a punch, I'm going to be out. As soon as someone clips me on the chin, I'm going to be out." And it's a weird place to be, because I've taken punches, and you know, Paul Daly used to punch me in the head all the time. Jimmy Waller. I've trained with some really good guys, you know, across the globe. I've been able to have some, you know, really hard sparring sessions, and you know, I've taken some good shots in fights as well. But in that moment where I was knocked out, I had this doubt that came in. I'm like, hang on a minute, that could happen again. You know what I mean? It's like there's something that kind of haunts you a little bit following you into the next fight. Like, so what's Luque had? 31 fights. He's been knocked out once now. Like, submitted twice. that initially would be the danger against RDA, right? If Liu Kang was not coming off a knockout loss, you think if RDA is going to beat him, he's going to take him down and submit him. But now there's that additional doubt in Liu Kang's mind that if he gets trapped up against the fence and RDA starts unleashing, if he starts throwing that left hand down the center line like Jeff Neal was, you might be able to just hit him on that same button and he might go down. And even if he isn't able to knock him out cold, RDA's ground game, let's just break down the records quickly. Have I done Tale of the Tape? Yeah, I did, didn't I? Okay, good. Quick breakdown of the records. So Liu Kang, 21 wins on his record, 11 by knockout, 8 by submission. That's 19 finishes in 21 fights. He's a dangerous human being. RDA, 32 wins on his record, 5 by knockout, not quite as dangerous, 11 by submission. So a slight advantage in submissions there. But honestly, coming off that submission over Brian Barberena puts my expectations higher for RDA's grappling coming into this next fight. A nice variety of submissions on RDA's side. 4 rear naked chokes, 2 arm triangles, 3 arm bars, a kimura, and the neck crank that he just landed. He's never been submitted, but Luque's got really nice submissions on his record. And he has a variety of arm triangle configurations that he uses. Brabos, darces, anacondas, arm triangles, lots of head and arm type of situations that he seems to specialize in. Now, if I'm Liu Kang, I'm coming into this fight and I'm going to try and close RDA down and put him up against the fence and wear on him, lean on him, like use a similar tactic to what GSP did against BJ Penn back in the day when he just tied him up and made his arms fatigue, like make RDA feel like the smaller fighter in there. And then if he wants to, he can start breaking and striking, but he can also force RDA to defend takedowns. And I think that might be a smart thing to do if it's to clear the first round and get the win on the scorecards for Liu Kang so he can go back to his corner and feel like he's, you know, like he's established himself in the fight. That could be a benefit. The other benefit could be, you know, putting RDA on the back foot and making him, you know, feel the weight of the bigger fighter in Vicente Liu Kang. The other thing as well with Liu Kang is because all of his attacks are front headlock, if he can break RDA's posture and get him down on the knee and a hand, he can start thinking about locking up submissions. He doesn't need RDA on his back to submit him. He just needs him down on an arm, down on a knee, as low to the canvas as he can get him, then he's going to be vulnerable. I would, of course, love to see this one in a Muay Thai striking match because like you could just put this under one championship Muay Thai rules and they could strike it out and it would be absolutely electric. The fact that there's going to be grappling mixed into it makes it very interesting because of who's going to decide to use the grappling and how. Like, does RDA decide he's going to put Liu Kang under pressure quickly, not deal with his height and reach advantage and try and get that finish early, put him on a 3-fight losing streak and really put a dent in his confidence? Or does he start thinking to himself, well, I'll play for a little while on the outside, I'll get Liu Kang's confidence up in the striking range and then I'll start putting him on the floor out in the center? Like, different options for both fighters. And you could speculate on the options for days. For me, the best thing to do, wiping the slate clean psychologically, you've got Vicente Liu Kang, who's the bigger, taller fighter with the reach advantage, who's got as good as, if not better, striking than RDA, I would say, but they're very evenly matched in the striking range. I would say put it on him, you know, like put pressure on RDA, make him feel that distance and that size advantage, clinch him a little bit up against the fence, but again, bully him, control the center. And yeah, put RDA on the back foot a little bit. I mean, you've got to think, you know, he's what, how many fights into his career now? What's that, 46 fights into his career? He has been in wars. His toughness sometimes has worked against him because he's taken more shots than somebody with a weaker chin would have been able to. Like, Liu Kang is the fresher fighter. Just the fact that he's coming off 2 losses puts a question in my mind as to where his self-belief is, especially given the fact that he's just been stopped for the first time in his career. Really exciting fight, though. I also wonder whether Liu Kang's got a... maybe prefers orthodox fighters. There are a lot of techniques that Liu Kang uses, that lead hook to the body, lead low kick. They just work better against someone in the same stance. Against Jeff Neal, and you could hear... I think it was Safe in the corner, constantly shouting out about staying to the outside of that lead foot. It just seemed to be really problematic for him, and that left hand was there all the time. I wonder whether he's found a solution for that, or whether RDA can make the most of it. Really good fight. Really interesting. Have I said the height and reach? I've done that, yeah, right, Jamie? Yeah, good, good. 6-inch reach advantage for Luque. That's ridiculous. I can just see him just trapped up against the fence, just picking him off. RDA feeling kind of stuck a little bit. That's where I'd want him if I was Luque. Good fight. Enjoy, and I'll see you next time.